You're listening to SBS News.
The bells tolling and a notice on Buckingham Palace gates alerted the world to the death of Britain's longest-serving royal consort. Prince Philip was husband to the Queen for 73 years. Lockdown laws in London were temporarily forgotten as people gathered at Buckingham Palace to pay their respects to a man who dedicated his life to serving his country. The Duke of Edinburgh is remembered by those who knew him as a man ahead of his time and a moderniser of the British monarchy, though he did draw criticism for comments perceived by some as racist. Former Secretary to the Queen Simon Lewis says he didn't set out to offend.
I think he was more of an extrovert, and I think he genuinely enjoyed meeting people. He had a very good, if wicked, sense of humour, and it actually helps to put people at their ease.
That wicked sense of humour was shown through the Prince's support of his wife and the institution she represents.
The main lesson that we've learnt is that tolerance is the one essential ingredient of any happy marriage. It may not be quite so important when things are going well, but it is absolutely vital when things get difficult. And you can take it from me that the Queen has the quality of tolerance and abundance.
A national hero was also mourned in Papua New Guinea. Sir Michael Somare, also revered as the country's Grand Chief, is widely regarded to have united a fractured country. He's known as the father of the nation and was Papua New Guinea's first elected leader when it gained independence from Australia in 1975. Sir Michael continues to be the country's longest-serving leader, remaining as Prime Minister for 17 years until he was ousted in 2010 and resigned from Parliament.
I gave my best years in this country. I hope you will each find the grace to continue our dream of our great nation, Papua New Guinea. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
A divisive but equally consequential figure to have passed away this year was Frederick Willem de Klerk, the president of South Africa during its final years of apartheid. South Africa was sliding towards an all-out conflict when Mr. de Klerk came to power in 1989. No one expected the Conservative president to change much. But within months, he announced this change, which would set off a course of events to end the apartheid regime.
The prohibition of the African National Congress, the Pan-Africanist Congress, the South African Communist Party, and a number of subsidiary organizations is being rescinded.
Nelson Mandela was released from prison, and soon after, the two men were sharing the Nobel Peace Prize. F.W. de Klerk was terminally ill when he recorded this message.
I, without qualification, apologize for the pain and the hurt and the indignity and the damage that apartheid has done.
Colin Powell also stirred debate when he passed away with complications from COVID-19. The four-star Army General was selected by George Bush to make history and become the United States' first black Secretary of State. But his reputation was marred by his justification to invade Iraq in 2003.
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more. And he has the ability to dispense these lethal poisons and diseases in ways that can cause massive death and destruction.
Former Liberal Party leader Andrew Peacock also passed away this year. He was Australia's foreign minister under the leadership of Malcolm Fraser before taking the leadership of the Liberal Party himself. On two occasions, he lost against the popular incumbent, Bob Hawke.
Well, we lost the election so narrowly, I don't think you could say we weren't a viable opposition, but the fact is, we didn't win.
Australia lost a cultural icon in actor and dancer David Gulpilil, who became a global celebrity at the age of 16 when the film Walkabout was released. From there, he starred in many successful films like The Tracker and Storm Boy.
What's your name? Storm Boy. You run like a black fella.
Never forget me. While I am here, I will never forget you. I will still remember you, even though if I'm gone forever, I will still remember.
Another major figure lost from the entertainment industry was Mary Wilson from The Supremes. At a time when Black America was fighting for civil rights, Wilson and The Supremes delivered 5 number one singles in a row. Hey, you just have to wait. Woo! In Australia, TV personality Bert Newton was mourned not just by the entertainment industry, but the whole nation.
Hi, fellow hi-fi. Welcome once again to the Hi-Fi Club. It's nice to have you with us.
Bert Newton's friend, Pete Smith, remembers his rise to stardom fondly.
In the early days of television, those lucky enough to get an appearance were learning on camera, and so was the public. There was one person who wasn't learning. He already had that wonderful talent. His name was Bert Newton.
Music executive Michael Gadinski was also farewelled as the godfather of Australia's music industry. He was remembered as central in taking Australian music to the international sphere, working to the very end to keep musicians in work during the pandemic.
At the time, very few labels, believe it or not, signed Australian music. There was a lot of, it was a backyard business.
Another trailblazer in the fashion and business worlds was Carla Zampatti, who was influenced by her childhood to bring an Italian flair to her clothing label.
Your values, I think, are already formed by the age of 9. So I have a very strong connection to Italy because of that.
And finally, the Holocaust survivor who described himself as the happiest man on earth was also mourned this year. After his escape from 2 Nazi concentration camps, Eddie Jacku arrived in Australia in the 1950s and spent the rest of his life stressing the importance of remembering the Holocaust and trying to eradicate hate from society.
Happiness does not fall from the sky. It's in your hands. So I am here to make you happy. You meet the happiest man on earth, me.
Tyson Cusey, SBS News.